So our scripture today is from Romans. It's chapter 10, verses 5 through 15. Moses writes concerning the righteousness that comes from the law, that the person who does these things will live by them. But the righteousness that comes from faith says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down, or who will descend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from death. But what does it say? The word is near you on your lips and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim, because you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For one believes with the heart and is so justified, and one confesses with the mouth and so is saved. The scripture says, no one who believes in him will be put to shame, for there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord of all and is generous to all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But how are they to call on one in whom they have not believed? How are they to believe in one whom they've never heard? And how are they to hear without someone to proclaim him? And how are they to proclaim him unless they are sent, as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. And so I think I've told you guys before that sometimes when I read a scripture, I think I know what it means. And so then, and I'm always work about 2 weeks ahead. So then I'll be thinking through it and kind of deciding, you know, how that might work in a message. And I usually, after that first reading, I have a pretty good idea. I bet I read this one 100 times because I really had a hard time with what it was telling me. And I told you before, I normally read William Barclay's commentary, but in this case, I read three different ones because after I read the second one, I kind of decided I thought what it meant. And then I read the third one and it sort of confirmed it. So this is kind of how I'm going to start this today by saying that this was really puzzling to me. I think a lot of times I get a lot more out of the messages than maybe you guys do because it makes me think about things that I haven't thought about before. So keep all that in mind as we go through this. So I called this following the law. And if you think about the Old Testament times, what they really did is they made up 9 zillion rules. And if you followed all the rules, then everything was going to be okay. And so how are we in general? No one has to say personally, but in general, how good are we at following rules? Because if we figure out a way, if 40 is the speed limit, well, I bet I can go 44 and I won't get stopped, or 45 or 46, till you find what the magic number is. And so that's just one example, but we have a tendency to kind of push the boundary. And so if you think about Old Testament, they would had all these rules and they never would follow them. And so I just finished a Bible study I did on my phone. It was the Minor Prophets. And basically, almost all of them said, hey, you guys are not following what God has asked you to do. And in this case, it was Israel's going to be punished because they didn't follow. And then the prophet would say, we have to get back to here. So we're back where we're supposed to be to get on the right track. So you have this whole history of the Jewish people not being able to follow directions. Well, we're not Jewish, but we're not any better. So you've got this whole 2,000 years of war and animosity. And so I think if you look at us trying to follow rules, we're just not very good at it. We are awful at it, and it ends up causing problems. So I think you can take a look at the world that we're in right now and get an idea of how well we follow rules and how that works. So I was listening or reading something this week, and somebody did a survey about how many people have gone back to church since so many churches were closed. And so last year it said that about 35% of the people in the United States went to church. I'm never really sure what that means. Does that mean they go sometimes, they come a couple times a year? But they said that was they believed in church and God and they went to church 35%. since the virus was over, and it didn't say if it was exactly the same people, that number's like 18%. So only about half the people have come back. And that is only true if all the 35% really went to church to start with. So we've got this whole country of people that if they believe, they don't share belief, they don't come to church to share it or to learn more about the faith. And so I kind of view that as trying to follow the rules. Even though we try to do it, we're just not very good at it. So I took this out of Luke. It's Luke 18, it's verses 18 through 20. And this is a conversation between Jesus and a person. And the ruler asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments: do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor your mother and father." And so those are really basic, but you can look in the news every day or the newspaper every day, and people don't follow those. They do other things that cause problems. I had a friend one time that read a book. I've never read it. It's called Everything I Need to Know I Learned in Kindergarten. Has anybody read it? There's like three things. One is, if you're eat a cookie, don't touch anyone, and if you're sleepy, take a nap. Okay? Those three things pretty much cover all the world's problems. Because usually when you're tired, you get a little picky with somebody, whether it's family or friends. And so those things kind of take care of everything. So we live in a world that, take the virus out of it, that's pretty angry. So I brought a prop today. So because my mom saved everything and I won't throw away anything, which those two could be related, by the by, this is the handbook for my high school senior year. Might notice, you know, 6.5 by 4, maybe 1/4 inch thick. I served on the Yorktown School Board for 8 years. And one of the things that we did about this time of year is we would approve the rules for the schools each and every year. And we did it by school, so it wasn't even like the whole, it was like by elementary. And this is pretty close. They would be about this big, much bigger paper, at least that thick. There was going to be 40 or 50 pages, okay? So in, we'll say more than 2 years, from this book to this book, it was about, this was 73 and that would have been 2002, okay? So in that 30 years, we went from this rules to all these rules. Does anyone think schools are better now than they were 30 years ago as far as discipline and stuff? And they're just not. There's more stuff that goes on, stuff that, and this was in the 70s when everything was supposed to be going on, that even I wouldn't have thought somebody would try to do in school or try to get the parents involved in school. And so I would say in general, the world is not in a better place. And I think that you can follow people's lack of following Jesus as a goal for that. So we live in this world, and I put in violence, or you can put lack of peace, because people get angry with each other. And we've seen that a lot. I don't know if that's partially related to people are all stressed out about the virus and being stuck in home, but you're just seeing a lot more of that all in all. And one of the things that really bothers me is what I put on this last point was the ability to have a conversation with somebody. So we don't all have to agree on stuff. So in case I've never mentioned it, it is unlikely to me that we are all going to agree on stuff. It just isn't going to happen. And you know what? That's all right. Because sometimes it could bring up a point of view for me that I never thought of. But what we have to be is open to listening to people and having a conversation. Because right now, I like to listen to political shows. My wife will come in and she goes, "I'm just going to leave." She goes, "Why?" And I go, "I don't want to hear two people yell at each other." Well, and that's what we have. And it's not just political. Something interruption that's on ESPN, and they've got these two guys that talk about sports things, and she won't listen to them for the same reason, because they really just yell at each other. And sometimes they're really talking about the same thing, but I think if they do it louder, it seems more important. So the question is, how can we do these things, have conversations with each other, but be respectful and think about what it is we're doing? And that respect that we often don't have in our personal lives, then we don't have any place else. And so whether it's politicians or sports people or your neighbor, people just talk and never listen. And so then at the end of this, I was trying to decide what this scripture was really saying. And so the first question I wrote was, do we believe that Jesus is really real? And so I would say some people would say, well, we know he existed, but we don't believe he's the Son of God. And so I was doing a Bible study, and I can't remember what it's called now, but part of it was all Old Testament, and we decided as a group, and there was about 20 of us in there, that we would go to the Jewish temple in Muncie for a service, just to have a better understanding of how that worship would work. So we went there on a Friday night. Their rabbi met us, just so this will confuse you. She told us what the service was going to be. The Muncie Jewish Temple is pretty progressive, and they have a female rabbi. She only comes up for services on Friday. She was a student at in Cincinnati, and so she would come up to do the services. But in the Jewish service, what they did, the very first thing they did, is everybody stood up, and they'd look at that back door, because they wanted to know if Isaiah was going to come in, because the Messiah hasn't arrived yet. And until Isaiah shows up, it can't happen. So for a Jewish person, they believe there's going to be a Messiah, they just don't believe it's happened yet. For us, Jesus is our Messiah. The question is, do we really believe that? Or do we just go, well, Jesus was a really nice guy, and he said a lot of things that are practical in teaching that can lead us to do the right things? Or is he really the Son of God? Do you believe in the resurrection? So Easter is all about the resurrection. Do we really believe in it? Now, I told you guys last week we got to go to Israel. There are two different groups that think they know where the original burial of Jesus was. There's four churches inside the walled city of Jerusalem that have a place, and they think that's where it was. And there's a group of English people that when you go there and it's closer to the Garden of Gethsemane, they think that's where the burial took place. When you read, and I can't remember which book it is that describes the wall and the skull and all that, it more resembles the place that the English people have picked. But the English guide we had, he said, I know you guys have already been to the other place. And he said, you know what? I don't really know which one's right or not. He said, but what's really important is, do you believe it really happened? Or do you just think it's something that somebody made up? So wherever you fall in that is what we do. Do we allow ourselves to be led by those beliefs? So it used to be that, and so I was young enough, tells you how long ago this was, where you wore the bracelet that said, what would Jesus do? Okay, I haven't really seen those for a while. My guess is they'll come back again pretty soon because things kind of go and then come back. But what that really was is when you were thinking about something, no matter what it was, what they were trying to get you to do is, how would Jesus handle this situation? No matter what it was. How would Jesus handle that situation? Well, I think for us, that still comes into case every single day. So I'll give you an example, and I struggle with this one. If you're, and even in Muncie you'll see this happen, or along the interstate, when you see somebody that comes up to you and asks you for money, or they're standing at the corner of the interstate and said, we'll work for food. Because I had businesses in the Anderson when I was a banker, and I don't think it was a coincidence, there was always a guy standing at the exit to where the casino was. And so the question is, are we really supposed to give them food or money? And sometimes I struggle with that, because sometimes I'm not sure I'm supposed to. sometimes I think I was. And so people would come to me and say, well, what do you do in those cases? And I said, I try to say a prayer to find out how I'm being led by the Lord. And sometimes I would give money, and sometimes I wouldn't. But I would tell you, there wasn't really a rhyme or reason to when I chose to do it or not to do it. It was how I felt I was being led by the Lord. Next week, I'm already working on that message, and I'm going to explain to you guys how I got here. Kind of like my life in the ministry, how I got to where I am. It'll go in with what we're talking about, but I think I need to share that with you. And so sometimes I let Jesus lead me to get here, and sometimes I fought that because I didn't always follow. Now, I would tell you that I ended up here, so eventually, no matter how defiant I was, I got back on track. But so in everything we do, how do we decide we're going to be led? Do we make our own decisions because we think we know best? And I would tell you to watch the news today to see how, as a world, we do things when we do it on our own. Or the newspaper today wasn't particularly fun to read. What I always call the second page, because that's where all the bad stuff is. What people do to each other, how they harm each other, whatever they do to harm each other, are they being led by the Lord? Or are they being led by themselves? So we live in a really interesting time, I think. When this first started, one of the things that we talked about was once the virus was over, and it'll end eventually, someone will come up with a vaccine, it's gonna come to an end. Now, there might be a new virus, but this will come to an end because things that are technical like that, we're really good at. The things that we are not very good at is dealing with people, because people are hard. And I bet you didn't know this, but none of us are the same. I know, it's a surprise. Even twins are not the same. And so that dealing with personal relationships is much harder. And I'm not telling you it's easy, even if you feel like you're letting the Lord lead you. But that's what I think this scripture tells us. It's saying if you try to do stuff on your own, it's not going to work out very well. It didn't work out well in the Old Testament because the more rules they wrote, the more they got broken. And the more the Israel nation would say, oh yeah, we're going to follow all these rules. Their history is we follow the rules, we get farther and farther away from them, and all of a sudden we're not following them, and then they're taken over by the Babylonians or the Assyrians. And then they get a new person that's leadership, or a prophet that leads them the right way, and they get closer. And then they'd fall back again. That was their history, over and over and over again. Well, what that tells us is we're not really capable of doing that ourselves. No matter how hard we try, no matter what we do, no matter how smart we are, how unsmart we are, whether the nicest person or the meanest person, we don't have the ability to do that on our own accord. And so what I would ask you, so this, you know, I've talked about homework before. This is long-term homework. Allow the Lord to lead you in all that you do. And if you find yourself not being led by the Lord, then it's okay just to stop, hit the pause button and say, let's think about what's going on here. Am I really doing what I'm supposed to be doing? Or am I just doing it because it feels good, make me feel better, whatever? And if you look around at the world's problems, I think they all kind of fall in that category. So if you have someone that drinks too much, because I help the Muncie Mission a little bit in some stuff they do, almost everyone at the mission, they don't have very many drug addiction cases. Almost all theirs is alcohol. They just can't stay away from that. A better way, we talked about a couple weeks ago, it's the violence that's in someone's life. Almost all that is drug or alcohol related. We have these things that we do to make ourselves, set this down for a minute, feel better, but they don't really make us feel better. They might make you feel a little better in the short run, but there is a problem when you cannot take that alcohol, that drug over and over again. So one day, I got to spend a little time at Ball Hospital. The guy beside me, I don't know what his issues were, but they apparently were drug related. So I don't remember all this, so part of this is stories that people have told me. But in the middle of the night, he decided he wanted to leave, and they had him chained to the bed. He pulled out his IV, took like the whole mattress with him when he left, and he left the hospital. I don't know what he did with the mattress when he got someplace else. And the only part of that I really remember is, you know, they have that curtain thing between the two beds in the room, is all of a sudden this like curtain is just like whooshed over me, and I hear nurses yelling, and this guy's running with the mattress. But he got out of there because he needed something to drink that bad. And then this was like in the like 1-2 in the morning, and then later on he comes back into the hospital, and like he was like it was a hotel. He checked himself back in. But he needed that alcohol so bad, that's what he was willing to do. We all have things in our lives, if we let them, can get us out of control. Just try to let yourselves be led by the Lord, and it makes life so much easier. Father, be with us all as we go out into your world. Let us be led by you. Let us not try to lead our own lives, but find your path in all we do, in all we say, in all our interactions with all God's people. In your name, amen.